interesting things, and we're going to look here. I'm going to read through. So Mark chapter 4, verse 35. Mark chapter 4, verse 35. And we're going to see three things tonight. I preach out of these texts and some of these stories in the gospel so many times and have so many variations of messages from them. But I believe God gave us these three synoptic gospels, and he gave us the gospel of John for a big reason. They're the meat of the New Testament, Jesus being on the earth. And so looking at these stories never gets old to me. No matter how many times you've heard them preached or how they've been preached, it just never gets old to me personally, because it's like, every time I see it, I think to myself, wow, or I think, oh, wow, I forget this, or I didn't see this. So tonight we're going to look at it here, and we're going to take just a look about in the storm, in these storms of life that come. We pick up in verse 35, and the Bible says, "And the same day when the even was come." That's important because it means it's nighttime. You know, Savea, she's not big on storms. She doesn't like storms. She was 10 when the storm in Dayton came, and she remembers that. And she remembers going through the streets with us. I have pictures of the little Erickson kids at the time, you can tell them I said this. Carter's out of town. Brandon's over youth. My little youth pastors and my little assistant pastor at the time, yeah, they got that daddy weight on them now. I love to pick on them for that. I love bringing it up to them. They don't like it, but I love it, okay? Jeremy, we stayed the same. I don't know what happened to them. They say, you know, Jimmy Williams told him, Brandon's dad, he said, but you boys been drinking them milkshakes. But anyway, it's just funny to look back. they were much younger. But I have these pictures of seeing all these kids and everybody there. And Savea, that devastated her. And she's afraid of storms now. She's afraid. But what I noticed was, these last 2 days when this threat, you know, of storm, and you know, they're for your phones, and you can look up, she can look up the weather and things on her own. In the daytime, she wasn't that afraid. But when night started to come and you couldn't see what's going on, it seems to be a more frightening proposition when a storm comes. Now, you really think about it. A tornado is just as devastating in the daytime as it is at nighttime. But let's be honest, we're not as afraid when it's light out and it's coming. Why? Well, there's lots of things with that. Because if it's light out and the power goes out, you can still see. Right? If it's light out and you can see it coming, now I don't know about you, but seeing it come you ain't gonna be able to stop it. It's gonna do the same damage just because you can see it. But there's something about evening that makes it more scary. These apostles are on the ship and it's now nighttime. So now they're at nighttime and a storm is about to happen. And Jesus says this, he says, "Let us pass over unto the other side." If you underline or star or write notes, that's a great passage to put something beside. He says, "Let us pass over to the other side." Because if Jesus says we're going somewhere, rest be assured we're going to get there. If he says when you die, you can go to heaven through me, rest assured that when you die, you're going to heaven. There's no doubt in that. But we go on there and we see, and when they had sent away the multitude, this is a different theological point, but not everybody's going to heaven. When they sent away the multitude, not everybody's going to be passed over to the other side. And so we have to be very wise to understand that not everybody makes it through the storm into peace. But here, not the message tonight, they took him even as he was in the ship. And then also we see Jesus is in the ship with them. Praise be to God. And there were also with them other little ships. And there arose a great storm and wind and waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. And so now we have this ship. If you know anything about boats, it's not good when the water gets in. There's a boat. And now it's beaten so much that the water is pushing the boat down and there's water coming over. It's not like a button in a boat, in a nice boat now where you can push the bailage button. No, this is people trying to get the water out of the boat. This is a great storm and there's water coming into the boat. Jesus, he was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. Now, most pastors and most of the time when I preach this, that's the major verse. You're like, "Peace, be still." And that's exciting to us. But that's not what I'm going to talk about tonight. And he said unto them, "Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith?" And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, "What manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey?" Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give you praise, the honor, the glory that only you are due. And thank you for who you are and for whose we are. Lord, we ask now that you would help us and guide us through this, Lord, and through the storms of life, that we would see things very clearly today. In the name of Jesus, amen. Number one, I want you to see the power of the storm. The power of the storm. This is the first nature miracle that Jesus performs here in the Gospel of Mark. Now, there are several different types of miracles in the Bible. Jesus will do healing miracles. Jesus will do miracles of exorcism, where he casts out or pulls out an evil spirit or a devil out of someone. Jesus will do faith miracles, that he as the creator has power over all creation and over all nature. And so this is the first of these nature miracles. But we notice in verse 37 that this wasn't just a little rain. There was a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship. And so we see here there's a great ferocity. There is a great power of this storm, that this is a big storm. This is a sort of cyclone on the waters. Now, you and I live in what is called the Miami Valley. Most of us in here live in the Miami Valley. And so when you look at an aerial view of this area, you look down and we live in a sort of bowl. And that is why when the tornadoes came, it was hard for the tornadoes to get back out, because they're in a bowl bouncing around off of the bowl. If you drive up on 75 and you drive from 75 about around West Carrollton. If you drive from West Carrollton up to about Piqua, you will be up high and looking down into the valley, so to speak. And here, this Sea of Galilee is in a similar type of area. It is in this mountainy hill area, and down below is the valley. And inside of that, the weather and the climate is such that there are many storms that come upon that sea. And when the storm comes upon that sea, if it begins to be cyclonic in nature, it's hard for it to come out. So there, it takes the water and begins to swirl the water and make what we would see as hurricane type of weather. And we understand here that this is no ordinary just little rain. This is a major. If you read the story of Jonah, Jonah is asleep on the boat while the mariners fear for their life. Here, Jesus is asleep on the boat. His apostles, most of them were fishermen, and they're the ones afraid. Mariners who dealt with lots of storms are afraid, while Jonah, the disobedient prophet, is asleep on the boat. Jesus, the obedient prophet, is asleep on the boat, but people who had been through storms, apparently, on the lake, on the waters, they're afraid. And so we see how great this storm truly is. It's a big supernatural storm, which teaches us that the power of the storm came from God himself, that he is the one in charge. Now listen, if you're headed for a storm, coming out of a storm, or you're in the middle of the storm is only relevant, the power of the storm is only relevant to you. The power of the storm in your life may not have any power over my life. The power of the storm in your life may not have any power over somebody else's life, but that storm at that moment has power, and it's ferocious to you. Now, this isn't a sprinkle. This isn't something that's just a little bitty thing. You know, I think sometimes we think storms, we make storms bigger than that they really are in our lives. Sometimes we look at something and we go, oh me, oh my, I forgot to put my makeup on today. This is a storm. That ain't a storm, girl. All right. Sometimes, fellas, we get into this situation and we're like, oh, no, I'm in a storm. I didn't catch any fish today. That's not a storm, fellas. That's not a storm. This is a ferocious storm. This is a powerful storm. This is I don't have enough food to put on the baby's plate. This is I lost my job kind of storm. This is I got a bad breakup relationship kind of storm. This is I'm hurt. I got a disease. I got some kind of illness type of storm. This is a ferocious storm. And we have to understand the power of the storm. But understanding the power of the storm, know whose storm it is. Because Jesus says, in this world you shall have tribulation. If God allows you to have a powerful storm in your life, just know that God is still in control of that storm. It's his storm. Even though this storm was ferocious, now watch this. This is important. We saw at the beginning of this that Jesus sent these folks into this boat and said, we're going to the other side. That means that they're obedient, that they're in the will of God. Never be surprised that even when you're in the will of God, that a storm won't come. You can be doing everything right, and the storm can still come. You can be saying all the right things. You can be paying tithe. You can be in church. You can be reading your Bible. You can be praying. You can be nice to people. You could have not kicked the dog for 6 weeks. Everything could be going right, and a storm can still come. But see, we got to look tonight at the problem of the storm, number two. See, the power of the storm is going to come, but the power of the storm, it's not the power of the storm itself, it's the power of God in the storm. But here we got to look at the problem of the storm. And the problem was really a problem of doubt and unbelief because of the fear. They had fear of the storm. We fear the consequence, the problem of the storm. And look what they said in verse 38. They say this, Jesus is asleep, and they say, hey, don't you care that we're going to die? Care us not that we perish. They don't care about the storm. They don't say lightning's coming after us. They don't say the wind is blowing hard. They say we're going to die. No one was afraid the last 2 days because there was a storm coming. They were afraid what the problems of the storm were going to be. They were afraid we might lose our roof. We might lose our house. Toto might get caught up in a cyclone. We're afraid of what the problem of the storm is. But let me break it down to you this. The storms of our life, the problem is our own fear and doubt. Jesus says, why are you so fearful seeing that you have no faith? He already told you you're going to make it through the storm. He's the one that told you to go into the storm to go to the other side. And so he already told you that you're going to make it, but then we get fearful. But why does God allow us? Because he wants you to see the true problem of the storm is not the storm, but it's you. Do you know this? When I was growing up, 7 years old, we moved to Alumni Circle in Wilmington, Ohio, a flat piece of land. It was a newer part of town and newer homes. And when we moved there, there were no trees. And so my dad said, we want to get a couple of trees growing. And so we got these sapling trees. And I was seven, so I wasn't so tall yet, but the trees were about my height now. And those trees, by the time I went off to college, were about 15 foot tall, and now I'm sure they're probably 25 feet tall. But we saw, and me and my sister liked to go out and decorate them with Christmas things, and even when they were just little bitty trees. And my dad, not knowing a whole bunch, it wasn't like he was a treeologist, but he took those trees, and you know how you kind of tie the stake or the chain to them, and he had those things tied down. And one of his friends came over, and I remember this. And his friend said, Milt, you need to take those chains off the tree. He said, why? He said, because if you want the tree to grow big and strong, it needs to go through some storms. Because biologically, when a tree goes through storms, when it's windblown, it grabs its roots and it digs deeper into the ground. And the tree actually becomes stronger on its own through nature. He said, so you need to take all that off. And those trees grew to be big and strong. Christian, when we're in the middle, we need some windblown storms in our life so that we'll dig deeper in faith, that we'll attach stronger onto God. We need some windblown days in our life so that we'll grow deeper in our roots, rooted in faith in God. We need some storms in our life. No one really likes to see storms. No one really likes for it to rain. But the truth of God's word is it rains on the just and the unjust. We need some storms in our life. I love to go and fish, and I drive over on my way here over the Stillwater to get here, and I drive over the Great Miami to get here first, and then I drive over the Stillwater. And right now, there's parts of the Stillwater, parts of the bridges. If I wanted to go home certain ways, I can't go on Easter night. And we went fishing the day after Easter. And on Easter night, we went and we stood, and it rained Easter night. And we went back to fish the exact same places the next day. It had rained just enough that we couldn't stand on certain places that we just stood the day before. But thank God that it rains, because there's not enough fire hoses in all of Dayton to fill up the Stillwater in the Great Miami River. If God doesn't send the storm, then those fish, those things die. There's no more kayaking. There's no more fish to fish. There's no more swimming. There's no more of any of that type of thing there on these rivers. God has to send it to replenish it. And in faith, sometimes the storm has to come and rage in our life so we see exactly who God is. and allow that to grab us deeper in our faith, in our roots, to dig down and say, you know, this is something that I've got to get through. I've got to allow this to come through in my life, and I've got to allow myself to not be fearful, but dig deeper in my faith, to get rooted deeper in my faith as the wind blows. It's interesting to me in this passage of Scripture, Jesus is asleep. It's the only time in the Gospels that Jesus is asleep. There are scriptures where it says Jesus was resting, but resting and sleep, they're two different words. I'm resting when the TV's watching me and I'm just resting my eyes for a moment. I'm not deep in sleep, but Jesus is on a pillow in a literal waterbed. The Bible says that the water's coming into the boat. Jesus is laying in water. He's got a hydro bed and he's on a pillow and he's just asleep. And it's not bothering him at all. He's just asleep. It makes me think, you know, the problem of the storm was unbelief, but maybe if the apostles just recognized and looked over at the master and noticed how comfortable and asleep he was, they would have said, you know what? What are we worried about? He's asleep. See, the problem of the storm is not what's happening in the storm. The problem of the storm is our lack of unbelief. It's that we take our eyes off the Savior and put our eyes on the storm. We're looking outside and we're looking at what could happen instead of looking at the one who said what was going to happen. But then think about this. This is an interesting thought to me. You know, I'm not being picky because, again, we didn't suffer great storms this weekend like they were saying. I mean, you would have thought the Dayton area was going to be obliterated if you just read or listened to the news. And I'm not making fun of the meteorologists because I'll tell you this much. I joke about them all the time, but they still know more than I do. And they still have a better guess than I do. I can't look. If it's really cloudy outside, I can tell you if it's going to rain. But I can't see 2 days ahead and decide if I think it's going to rain or not. So I'll still give them enough credit to say I won't discredit them. But here's what I know about the problem of the storm. When you know there's a problem of a storm that's... If you have outside lawn equipment and you know there's high wind coming, you might want to put it away. If you live like I do where there's a 40-foot tree in your front yard and you've got vehicles that park under it, you might want to park it a certain way so that the limbs don't come down and have you call Jake from State Farm. If you have a storm door, you might not want to leave it unlatched because the wind will take that thing and blow it off the hinges. You might want to lock that door. If it's going to rain outside, you might want to put your windows down. You just want to be prepared for the storm. Because while you're looking at the problem of the storm, the greatest way in faith, see, it's not a lack of faith to prepare for the storm. It's actually a sign of faith. Let me break it down spiritually for you. When you know when you're headed to a storm or you're in the middle of the storm, you need to prepare for the problem of the storm. How do we do that spiritually? When you're prayed up, when you're studied up, when you're churched up, when you're fellowshipped up, when you got Jesus on your mind, when the Holy Spirit's reigning in you, you're prepared. You're better able to deal with the storm of life that come. You are prepared to deal with the problem of the storm. Now, I wasn't going to speak on it, and I didn't want to Sunday because I wanted to be about the Lord. But it's not going to be an illustration every week. But it just came to me. You know, God is so good. He was preparing me for the storm of my mother passing away, and I didn't know what He was doing. But I read my Bible through twice a year, so every day I read 8 chapters of the Bible just perpetually, 4 Old Testament, 4 New Testament. Every day, faithfully, I do this, and it just goes on. It's just been what I've been on like that for years now. People say, how many times have you read the Bible? I don't know. It doesn't matter. It's not a contest. It's just what I do. But it was weird. It's not weird. It's God. I could have been anywhere in my Bible. I was telling Philip and Cynthia 3 weeks ago today, early in the morning, my dad said, your mom fell. And I told Brother Brandon, pray for my mom. She fell. Said there's no blood. She's okay. They're taking her just to check her out. Little did we know, her oncologist, she was getting ready for her oncologist appointment, and she fell before that. Little did we know the oncologist was going to tell her that the cancer had moved into her brain. There was nothing that she could do, that she had little time left. We didn't know that. By the time I preached that Wednesday night, the last time I preached here on a Wednesday, I haven't preached here on a Wednesday in 2 weeks. The last time I preached here on a Wednesday, the last Wednesday night, I already knew that my mother was going to die. It was interesting because I was in the book of Job. That's just where my Bible had me at the time. I was reading through the book of Job, and for 10 days. I stayed at my dad's house taking care of my mom and when I was gone. And while I got there, if you know your Bible, what comes after the book of Job? Psalms. So here comes this peaceful, all these verses about death, but those that are saved, what happens after death. And here's God preparing me for the storm. Three weeks ago, life was really good. I wasn't coming out of a storm that I can remember, but I didn't know I was heading into one. Little did I know that soon I'd be in the midst of one. And I'm reading through, and in the New Testament, you know, I kind of had finished all these epistles and all this stuff, and right when mom is starting to pass away, I'm in the book of Hebrews, which is the book of better things, a better covenant, and we have a great high priest, and because of this great high priest, and we have so great a cloud of witness in this great book with my mom, and I'm reading through my Bible, and I continued that while I was there and reading, and God was preparing me for the storm spiritually the whole time. See, I say this to you guys, and I don't say this pridefully, but this is the truth. Like, this is just what I'm supposed to do in my life. Like, I'll never be anything but a pastor again. If I retire, I'll be an evangelist somewhere preaching, or all the, but I'll never be anything but this. This is all I'll ever be able to do. And so when you're like that, no matter where I go, I'm always the pastor. While I'm there and the hospice workers are coming in, the nurses are coming in, my dad, he's proud. He's like, this is my son. He's a pastor. Yeah, we don't need the chaplain. My son's a pastor. And I'm like, Dad, it would be great if the chaplain came because I don't want to be the pastor right now. I just want to be the son. But you're the pastor all the time. Well, then he's telling all these hospice nurses this, and they're coming in, and then they got questions, and they got concerns and things. My mom's laying in the bed dying. One young lady was pregnant, and they just sit there in the room. So you're sitting there, and they're sitting there, and they're looking at you, and you're looking at them, and you don't know them. They're complete strangers. And then one lady said, your dad said you're a pastor. I've been going through some things, Pastor. Tell me. Let's talk about your life. But you know what God was doing? He was preparing me through his word for the storm. I've had my days of crying and these things, but he made me strong. He made me prepared for this. I was heading into a storm, and when the storm came, I was ready. I didn't go into the rain without an umbrella. I went into the rain prepared for the storm that God prepared, because it's appointed that man wants to die. He knew what day my mom was going to die. When I kept saying, I don't know, it could be any day now. When the hospice nurse say, it could be any day now. God already knew. He was preparing me for the storm. He said, I don't care if you're in my will, Bryson Thompson. Everybody's got to die. It doesn't matter if it's your mom or somebody else's mom. Everybody's got to die, and you're going through this storm. And now we're going to find out it's the person in my life that's closest to me that's ever died in my life. I've never lost a child or a parent. This is the first person. You know, my grandparents died at a good old age, plus 70. Here's my mom, 67 years old. This isn't supposed to happen this early, this soon. And here it is. And he said, okay, you say you believe this. You say, but here comes this powerful storm. Now are you ready for the problem of the storm? And I said, you know what? Praise be to God, I was prayed up, studied up, churched up, prepared. My family kept saying, how are you going to go back and preach on Sunday? And my answer was, I don't know what else I would do on Sunday. I really don't know. I would be beside myself if I wasn't doing that on Sunday. I hate when these other guys preach when I'm here. I like to hear them preach, but I'm a preacher. I don't want to hear nobody else preach. I don't want to hear myself preach. I'm just saying, I just want to preach. That's the cherry on top. After I've dealt with all y'all's problems all week, I want to get up here and let it out. See, the power of the storm and the problem of the storm, if you really understand and you're rooted, if you let the wind-blown tree get stronger, then it gives you, number three, the peace of the storm. It'll give you the peace of the storm. Verse 39, Jesus arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Jesus didn't put the wind in a stranglehold. He didn't put his hand out. He didn't have to have the rod of Moses. Jesus just used his voice and said, stop. And it stopped. Because that very wind and storm that came, Jesus had created. He has authority over all those things, over all creation. And so in that moment, Jesus reminds us here, again, the only time we find him actually restfully, peacefully sleeping in the Bible, not saying that Jesus didn't sleep. He was human. He surely did. But in his humanity, Jesus is asleep on the boat because he's tired. It's a great question. I want you to ask me. Pastor, why was Jesus asleep? Why was he asleep? Ask me. Okay, because he was tired. It's a great theological truth, isn't it? Wowed your mind, didn't it? You got a master's of divinity just now because he was sleepy. Why do you go to sleep? Because you're tired. Listen, I know this. These storms were coming. And so they had me up, and she's like, Dad, it's going to come. And it, as night began to come, it got to be 9:30, 10:30, 11. I said, now, they say the warnings are going on. Are you sure, Dad? And so to take their minds off of it when there was no lightning or whatever, I said, Jaleesa, Savea, why don't you guys go outside and catch night crawlers? That's what I do. I'm cheap. You know, night crawlers, $5 for a dozen. Why don't you go catch night crawlers for Dad so we have bait for fishing? Okay, Dad. They forgot all about it. They got their headlamps on out there. They're getting night crawlers. They got 60, 70 night crawlers in 20 minutes, just killing them out there. And I said, get your mind off of it. And they come back inside. Their mother loves when they catch night crawlers. They come in, their hands are all dirty. She's like, wash your hands. And then the girls are like, look, Mom. Chandra's not about that life. But I get their mind off and they come in, and it's about 11 o'clock. And I said, all right, I'm going to sleep. They forgot all about it. They were at peace. And I didn't care if it stormed or rained or not. I can't stop it. I wish I had the ability to go to West Union last night where the storms came and said, peace be still. But I don't. I don't have that ability. So the storm was going to come no matter what I did. No matter what I prayed, if God wanted the storm to come, it was going to come. All those people could do, all I could do was be prepared. But at a certain time, I get tired. And whether the storm's going to come or not, guess what I got to do? I got to go to sleep. Jesus said, the storm's going to come because I sent it. So I'm just going to go home and take my rest now. Y'all can be up and be fearful and afraid if you want, but guess what? It's going to come anyway. My Chandra, she doesn't like when we sleep upstairs, when this 40-foot tree's outside, if the wind might blow over. She's like, should the kids sleep downstairs? I said, honey, you have the kids sleep. You sleep wherever you want, but I'm going to sleep in my bed. I'm just going to trust God that if this be my time, the storm that he sent, I'm prepared. We've done everything. The tree's alive. It's strong. If God wants to send a wind that's strong enough to knock this tree over that's been there for probably 100 years, it's just going to be what's going to be. But I'm going to sleep because I'm tired. You know, the peace of the storm. You know that old Temptation song, oh, I wish that it would rain? Some of us as Christians, we ought to be asking God for it to rain. We're living high on the hog, and we're so prideful. We're so blessed by health, and we're so blessed by a good job. And then when a storm comes, we don't know how to deal with it because we've been thinking that we've been living in our own strength. We think we got it all figured out. And then a storm comes, and that's why the wise builder, he built his house upon a rock. And when the rain came down and the floods came up, his house fell not because it was built upon a rock in Matthew 7:25. But see, some of us are on sand, and some of us are just building our houses on weaker things because we're building it on our own pride, on our own self, on our own job, on our own strength. And when the storm comes, we're the same ones that cry and crumble because we've been building our house on all the wrong things. And when you build it and found the house upon a rock, when you're prepared for the storm to come, then you can lay down with Jesus. Look, the Bible says this, I have laid me down and slept, and I awake, for the Lord, he sustained me, in Psalm chapter 3. In Psalm chapter 4, the Bible says, I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for the Lord only maketh me to dwell in safety. Now, maybe you're not as country, or maybe you didn't grow up like I did, but when I was a little kid, everybody that I knew said a prayer like this. Well, all the people that get it, if you got this tonight, talk back to me if you can. We used to say a prayer at bedtime. I said this prayer every night when I went to bed. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord. If I should, before I wake, my soul. Every night I used to say that prayer, and it meant nothing to me as a little kid. It was just what I was taught to recite. But when I get older and I know the Psalms, I know that even when the storm is coming, if I should die before I wake, the Lord's going to take my soul from the other side over the Galilee and take me to heaven, because he already promised that we're going to the other side. Even if the storm comes in the middle of the night, even if the storm, so I might as well sleep on, O thou sleeper. I might as well lay myself down to sleep, for the Lord, he has to sustain me. I might as well go on to sleep, because only the Lord maketh me to detect in safety. If the Lord wants to rip this church up from its roots right now, he'll do it. But if the Lord wants to protect us and keep us in safety, he'll do it right now. So I might as well not worry. I might as well stay in a slumbery state and just say to the Lord, I prepared myself in prayer. I prepared myself in Bible study. I prepared myself in fellowship. I prepared myself in church. I prepared myself for the things of the Holy Spirit. And when the storm comes, I'm just going to dig deeper in my roots. I'm going to let the wind blow me, but the wind blown is not going to knock me over. It's going to make me stronger. And so the next time the storm comes, I've grown a little bigger in my faith. And the next time the storm comes, I grew a little bigger in my faith. And all of a sudden, I went from that little kid that said that little prayer to a grown man who said that prayer, who didn't understand that prayer, but now he understands that prayer, and in a full-grown faith, in a wind-blown faith. See, some of these little kids in here, they sing the song, in the storm, I am safe in the arms of the Lord. They sing it, but they don't fully get it just yet because they haven't been through a whole bunch of storms because mommy and daddy are taking the storms for them. But you get to be 13, 14, 15 years old, and you get that first heartbreak. Somebody done dumped you. That's a big storm to you at that point in your life. Even though we might say it's only puppy love, it's really a storm to you. Then you get to be 23, 24 years old, and you had more month than you had money every once in a while, or something bad's happened to you, or lost somebody that you love, has to make you stronger, because then you get to be 35, 40 years old, and maybe your back don't feel as good as it used to. Maybe you don't got hair on your head no more. Maybe the things you used to be able to do, you can't do no more. You better have some wind-blown storms in your life to have made you stronger. Then you might get to be 50, 60 years old, and you might have some other frailties or something else that happened. You might have this going on or that going on. You better have some wind-blown storms. Then I go to the nursing home today and I see some people that are 80, 90 years old, and I look at them and they got oxygen on and they can't think or they can't remember. They can't do things. And so some new storm. If you're not rooted up in faith, if you've not dug down when the storm comes, you will be blown over. But if you get rooted up in that faith, if you dig down deeper and through those storms and you learn something from it, the power of the storm can't hurt you. You're prepared and you understand that was never the power of the storm that was the problem of the storm. It was your unbelief. And then when you get all that, then you'll have the peace of the storm. You'll say, oh, I wish that it would rain. God, send another storm so I can show you again how much I trust you, how much I believe in you. All I'm saying is in the storm, our God will prevail. I'm just old enough. Remember all these great hurricanes in our last 35 years, and the Andrews and the Ikes and the Katrinas. And a few years ago, maybe 5 years ago, in our country's fourth largest city, Houston, there was one called Hurricane Harvey. Anybody remember Hurricane Harvey? I want to learn you something tonight. Hurricane Harvey came to Houston, the fourth largest city in the United States, and it's interesting because we see that and it's way out there and it's really not bothering us. But Harvey rained. It rained so much in Houston, a Harvard study said that all the waters would have filled the Empire State Building. Now, if you want to know how many gallons of water that is, that's 14 million Olympic-sized pools. That's how much it rained. 14 million Olympic-sized pools during Hurricane Harvey. Now, the power of the storm wasn't the problem in Houston. The problem came because Houston is actually a wetlands that is covered up by concrete and city. Houston was actually built up to block Dallas from flooding. You go do your research for yourself. Houston is actually a swamp, and it was built up as a city so that from Galveston to Dallas, it wouldn't flood up that way. And it made me think this way. You know, God, he's not, the power of God's storm is never the problem. The problem is the enemy. Watch this. The rain from Hurricane Harvey wasn't the problem. The rain down in St. Augustine or down on in Savannah, Georgia, or on the coast is not really the problem. What generally becomes the problem to the hurricanes are the floods. Even the wind doesn't generally destroy as much as the floods. And then I started thinking, only our lack of self-intelligence has allowed the enemy to prevail in major storms like this. Because when we were settling this country, see, we live in these port cities and we do things for commerce, for merchandise, for money. No one had to settle Savannah, Georgia. No one has to live in Houston. But people choose to because the enemy can't do anything with the storm because he didn't send it. But once the waters are on the ground, as the floods come up, now people are being washed away. Now, You can get mad at me all you want. People, you got family lives in certain places, all this other stuff. I watch on the news after these things happen. What do Americans say? This is America, because you got to love it. They say, man, what are you going to do? They say, we're going to rebuild. Right here where we are. We're going to rebuild it. We're going to stay right here. It would only take me once to see my dog floating down, see my house torn up, be up on the third floor looking down, before I say, you know, Tennessee sounds nice this time of year. But people do it all the time. That isn't the power of the storm or the problem of the storm. That was you. You can have peace from it because you ain't got to stay there. Now you say, what about the poor people and things like that? I agree. But you know, who does the Bible say the enemy is trying to eradicate first? He's going to try to eradicate the poor because the poor are the people who generally have the most faith in God. So he's going to try to eradicate them. There's a real reasoning for why these things happen. Because the rich, because you know what I'm going to do? I'm not rich, but I got enough money. When I knew the storm's coming, you don't have to believe the weatherman if you don't want to. I'll take my precautions. Hey, they say there's going to be a major category hurricane coming through your area. Now's the time to evacuate. Chandra, let's get the kids. We're going on north. Let's go on out of here. Let's get inland. What am I going to stay around for? I can't swim. Well, I want to stay for some flood. I would never live on Front Street in Troy. I see the flood walls are pretty high. Doesn't look like the water's going to come over it. But you know what? I'm not the kind of person who wants to have to rebuild my house 300 times. I'm like, well, you know what, baby? We can move inland. Some of you live in a floodplain right now, where you live at right now, and that's fine. Some of you by the Stillwater, the Great Miami, you might live in a floodplain right now. Just not my thing. But here's what I know. Don't you blame God for the power of the storm when you're the true problem of the storm. The apostles were in there, and the floods were coming in, and they were too busy looking at the water, and they were too busy looking at the power of the storm instead of looking at the Savior. And the Savior's going, I already told you we're going the other side. If you keep your eyes on the Savior, he's giving you a way out. Remember, the Bible says there's a way of escape, and sometimes we're too foolish to take that way. He says, here's the way out. Go that way. Here's the evacuation route. Go that way. Every major highway down south, you'll see an evacuation route. They'll say, here's how you get out of here if the floods come up. Through the hurricane, I don't remember which hurricane it was, and there were sandbags lining the highways, and there was floods over here, and their evacuation route. Now, the hurricane had already passed, but me being me, I said, I was with Brother Tim Schinkel. I said, Brother Tim, take a picture of this evacuation route. We got to know how to get out of here if something else comes back. We've landed in Myrtle Beach. I said, you know, we just want to know how to get back out of here, dog. Like, how do we get inland, right? I want you to have peace in your storms in life, but I don't want you to have peace in your own pride and thinking that storms will never come or that you can defeat the storm. I want you to have peace enough to be like, you know what, God, bring on the rain, because I'm so strong and rooted in you that I can stand believing in you. I can go to sleep knowing that if I should die before I wake, Lord, you're going to take my soul to heaven. When you find that kind of peace, when you find that kind of resolve and faith in a storm, remember, we're all in one of three situations. You are coming out of, headed to, or in a storm right now. Are you prepared? Are you ready for the storm? If you're in the storm, do you have the tools necessary to get out of the storm? Or better yet, do you have enough faith to lay me down, knowing that the Lord shall awake you, that he shall sustain you? Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this evening you've given us, Lord. We look now to you in this time of prayer, invitation, Lord. We just call upon your name, Lord, and we don't know all your ways. We don't know when all the storms will come. We just know they will come because you promised us that. But Lord, in knowing that, let us be prepared. Let us have our hearts, our minds, our souls. Let us be read up, prayed up, studied up, churched up, Lord, with the Holy Spirit upon us, fellowshipped up, that when the storm comes, when the wind blows, that it just allows us to dig deeper into you. As the music begins to play this evening.